Remain standing for the reading of two verses from the book of Matthew. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Lord, we pray that you would bless to us your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We have been studying Pilgrim's Progress this last week in Vacation Bible School, and so it's been much on my mind as the one who gave the lessons for the K-3 class, third grade, second grade class. And central to this story is a man by the name of Christian, who's leaving the city of destruction and is trying to flee to the celestial city. And in order to get there, evangelist tells him that he needs to go to a narrow gate and stay on the narrow way. And of course, we see this theme here in Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 13 through 14. I thought it'd be wise for us, as those who are involved in VBS, to kind of review the week. Know that Pastor Ted's done two messages. He's got another one coming up as he continues to take a look at Pilgrim's Progress 2. And also for those who were not a part, to come along and be of the same mind with us as we've gone through this material this week. We hear much about being in the mainstream today. The measure of truth for so many in our society today is whether we are in the mainstream or not. It doesn't matter that from generation to generation that the mainstream can change, and therefore truth becomes relative. Being mainstream merely means that we bow to the broad consensus on something. And if you're not on the bandwagon, so to speak, on any issue, you are out of touch with the truth. Along with this, we hear much about the big tent and not being too narrow. However, one wit has said in regard to this that if the majority believes something to be true, it isn't. Indeed, those who call for us to follow the mainstream on any issue often were out of the mainstream when their view wasn't the mainstream position. But now they call all to the mainstream inconsistently, giving the arguments the way they do. Those who argue for the mainstream are not shy about forcing the mainstream to change through courts, take nine justices, and have them wipe out the law of the mainstream. And now nine justices makes it mainstream. Now you have to get with it because this is the mainstream now. Well, it wasn't the mainstream just a year ago, but now we've got to get with it. We've got to be part of the mainstream. Beware of the argument for the mainstream. Slavery was once mainstream. Segregation was once mainstream. Child labor was once mainstream. And today, corruption is pretty much mainstream at all levels of our society. But isn't just the American culture which does this air of mainstream. The American church has thought to be mainstream also, rather than to be Bible-based and therefore strayed from what God says. I think the problem with the American church is that the American church has been mainstream. And we covet remaining in the mainstream. It becomes idolatry that we have to maintain what we've had. And it becomes to us a form of idolatry that we have to be in the mainstream. The church often wants to be in the mainstream to seek to change faith's narrow way. mainstream arguments and big tent philosophy are often argued in the church courts. And even today in the PCA, we can hear those using arguments that if we do not change on certain issues, we will lose the millennials, rather than to argue that we need to be more biblically based on these issues. Can you imagine where the church would be today if the apostles stood up and said, the message we preach isn't mainstream to the Romans and to the Greeks. We've got to get more mainstream so that we don't lose. The church won because it stayed in the narrow way. The church was brought to victory because it was faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It didn't bother the church that they were out of the mainstream. They knew they were out of the mainstream. And that didn't silence them. Beware of the broad way that leads to destruction, as Jesus says in these verses, rather than the narrow way that leads to life. The Bible, though it has at times been part of the mainstream, is not a book that tells us to determine right or wrong by majority vote. That's the problem with American democracy. I remember talking to Christians many times about whether it would have been wise to make Christianity a part of the Constitution, because not making Christianity part of the Constitution, majority vote wins. But the problem with making Christianity a part of the Constitution is you get a state church and that becomes dead very quick too. So there's really no solution to this except to continue to trust and follow the Lord in whatever system we're under. In fact, the Bible has been most useful by standing against the majority position. You can't read the prophets without understanding that Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Hosea stood against the majority way that everybody was going in their day. And they stood in the narrow way and suffered for it, as did Jesus himself. Monotheism for millenniums, for thousands of years, was not the broad way. The Greeks were not monotheistic. The Romans were not monotheistic. The Egyptians were not monotheistic, except for a very short time. That didn't last long. The Chinese are not monotheistic. The Japanese are not monotheistic. Haven't been historically. And yet that didn't stop Abraham and others from not being in the mainstream, but following the narrow way. And that narrow way has become, in many places, the mainstream. This passage, Matthew 7, that we just read, verses 13 and 14, is set in the context of Jesus opposing the majority teaching in his day on the Ten Commandments. That the Ten Commandments were just a mere superficial, formal, external obedience to the law of God. An external air we put on, rather than the issue of our hearts. It was a superficial holiness rather than a true holiness. And Jesus says, unless your holiness, unless your righteousness exceeds those of the Pharisees, you shall not see eternal life. Their righteousness, Pharisaical righteousness, the religious dedication of the Pharisees, because it was external and man-made, self-made righteousness, it wasn't enough in order to see heaven. Jesus tells us in verse 13a that we are to enter by the narrow gate. That's where Pilgrim's Progress begins. Christian understanding that he and everyone in his city are under destruction, knowing that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. He sees that he is about to be destroyed. All those who are in rebellion against God are one step from destruction. An evangelist comes to Christian and says, go to the narrow gate. And that's what Jesus says here. He says, enter by the narrow gate, because narrow is the gate, and difficult, or maybe even better, confined, is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. The way to life in this world of sin is the way less traveled, not more traveled. And we will see why shortly. In contrast, he tells us about the broad gate. Enter by the narrow gate, verse 13, for wide is the gate and broad is the way to that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. The broad way, Jesus says. The broad way of the Romans, the broad way of the Greeks, leads to destruction. The broad way of religious liberalism leads to destruction. There are many that are on that way. People think mindlessly because everybody else is doing it, must be okay. I don't know about your mother, but my mother often told me, if everybody's going to jump off the bridge, are you going to do it too? Right? It doesn't matter what everybody does. Are you going to do something stupid because everybody's doing something stupid? Because everybody is doing it, we mindlessly follow. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that not following the majority to do evil is, that's one of the major themes of the Bible. It was a theme of my life in college. It was in the Vietnam era. Campus unrest. A lot of isms on campus. One of my professors comes to the first day of class. He's there with his long hair, his guitar, and burning incense in the class. Oh boy, what is this? This isn't a business school. This has got to be the art school. This must be an art school class. It's not a business school class. But I had to determine, were the values that I was raised with at home and the values that I think those other students were raised with but were throwing off in college, what values were I going to follow? Was I going to follow the values of my fellow students, or was I going to follow the way that I was taught and always thought was right? And as a young person, I decided that I was going to follow the way of the Bible. It took me a little while to get there, but once I did, I was firm. Young person, you who may be in a secular college, are you in a liberal Christian college? You'll need to make this decision also. Are you going to follow the broad way? Are you going to jump off the bridge because everybody else does it? Are you going to follow the narrow way of Jesus Christ and his teachings? Now, in order to understand what the narrow way, and that it's the way to life, while the broad way is the way to death, let us understand what that narrow way is. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, the 7th verse. The Gospel of John 10:7. In Matthew, Jesus says, enter through the narrow door. And in John 10:7, Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, truly, truly, some translations, literally, amen, amen, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus is that door. He's a door that the sheep enter into the fold of God. We see this also in verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus is that door. Jesus giving His life for our salvation is that door. Entering into the fold of God to find pasture through Jesus, the door. That is the way of life. Every other way is the way of death and is the way of destruction. Now the world believes in the broad way, that every belief system will bring you to God and into God's fold. It is seen to be narrow-minded to believe in only one way, and that God does not accept any path but those who come through Jesus. But there is one true God, and this one God sent His Son, telling us that He is the only way. We see this in John 14:6 very clearly. It's so clear, I don't know why other religious teachers, especially those who claim to be Christian, can hold to a broad way at all. They're not following Scripture. Because we see in the passage that was read, especially verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How hard is that to understand? You can go to school and get all the doctorates and theology you want and make verses like this say what they don't say. But it's clear. An uneducated person can understand it as well as an educated person. It's clear. No one comes to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through me. It is through Jesus alone that we come to God the Father, and no one else. It is through His death on the cross that we find our acceptance with God, and in no one else. The Bible is not a broad way. True Christianity is not the broad way. The way to life is narrow, and through Jesus and Jesus alone, and trusting in Him and Him alone, and having His blood cover us that we might find favor before God. In Acts, it says, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Only one name, the name of Jesus. And 1 Timothy 2:5 says there is only one mediator between man and God. That is the man, Christ Jesus. Only one that stands to mediate between us and God is Jesus. And those nail-pierced hands pleading in our behalf for our forgiveness. This is a consistent teaching of Scripture and the apostles, who walked with Jesus, who saw His attesting signs, who gave witness to His resurrection. This is the door that you must enter by faith. It is the only way that will result in eternal life. If you are not yet in this way, you are in the broad way. Today is the day that Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to the door, Jesus, and get on the right path. All other paths are paths to eternal destruction. If you have entered through Jesus and are on the Jesus path, then have no fear or doubts that you are on the right way. The Bible firmly confirms it. Now, the path of God and the way of Jesus is one of righteousness, not a self-righteousness. There is a righteousness apart from obedience to the law that is ours through Jesus Christ. Romans makes that very clear, and it's probably worthwhile to turn there and read it so you can see it for yourself and not just my paraphrase of it. Romans 3, verses 20 through 22. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. One of the reasons people do not want the Ten Commandments posted is that the Ten Commandments remind us that we're sinners. The Ten Commandments do not tell us about life. They tell us about our death. We don't follow the Ten Commandments to try to get life, because none of us can keep the Ten Commandments in word, thought, and deed. Oh, well, I've never murdered anybody. No, maybe you haven't, but have you thought a bad thought about somebody? You wish they'd maybe go play in traffic? Have you whispered something under your breath when no one's listening? Say, what did you say? Oh, nothing, nothing. Yeah. Yes, it's thought, word, and deed. It's not only the act, but it's thinking the act and it's speaking the act. And it condemns us. As it says here very clearly, we only understand the law when we know that it condemns us and does not save us. The law cannot save us. The church rules and regulations cannot save us. Baptism can't save us. Church attendance can't save us. None of those deeds can save us. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God, righteousness imputed to us in Christ Jesus to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned. Every one of us here has sinned. I have sinned much more than I like to think, and fallen short of the glory of God, but being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation, as a satisfaction of His wrath by His blood through faith. That is the narrow way. That is the only way that you and I will find acceptance before God. It is the only way that when we die that we'll end up in the celestial city or the heavenly city and not in the fires of hell. Because God's wrath abides upon us if the blood of Jesus isn't covering us from all sin. All other paths are paths to eternal destruction. And if you have entered through Jesus and on Jesus' path, then wonderful. If you're not, you need to get on it. You need to doubt today. Enter by the narrow way and enter through Jesus Christ. This is the message that conquered Rome. This is the message that conquered the Greek pantheon. This is the teaching that conquered the Vikings in Scandinavia. This is the teaching that conquered the Celtic tribes that Rome couldn't conquer. This is the narrow way. This is the way of life. This is the way of righteousness for us to walk in. Turn with me to Psalm 23, verse 3. A beloved psalm for so many, especially at times when we are thinking of the loss of a loved one. How many times have I gone to funerals and gotten the card with Psalm 23 written on it? In Psalm 23:3, it tells us this: He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. What is the leading of God? Where is God leading us in life? What path does He lead us on? The psalm here tells us very clearly that the path that He leads us on is the paths of righteousness, and He leads us on these paths for His name's sake, for the glorification of His name. That's the way He leads those who are His sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 1. Verse 3. He leads me as the shepherd in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The path of righteousness leads to glory. Any other path leads to dishonor of the name of the Lord and to destruction. I've had many conversations about this through the year, the path of righteousness. I remember people that were committing fornication and rebuked them for it. And they said, well, I prayed to the Lord. The Lord told me this was all right. I said, well, it wasn't the Lord who was answering you, because the Lord can't speak contrary to His word. And so it's in paths of righteousness that He leads us. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is death. That's where our culture is. There is a way that seems right, but it ends in death. There's a growing pattern among seniors that is becoming mainstream. When older people lose their spouse, the pattern now is to make friends with other seniors, and of course this is appropriate. But so often it's friends with benefits, if you know what I mean. Because they both have their own families, their own estates, their own retirement income, it's too complicated in their mind to try to work out all those details. Also, any pensions may become void if a person remarries. The reason is that the pension was designed to sustain them if they didn't have a husband. But if they remarry, then the finances of the new husband provides for their needs, and that pension is no longer needed. And we see this in the case of railroad benefits, where I've run across this multiple times in the 30-some years I've been here at the church with these railroad benefits things. The pension can save a lot of money by putting in the restriction, which they do, that if a widow remarries, she doesn't get to double dip. She doesn't get the support of her previous husband and also the support of the present husband. She can give up the support of the previous husband when she's remarried to a new husband. It was designed to sustain the widow, but now that she's remarried, that sustenance isn't needed. But people sometimes, and maybe now often, decide that they want their pension and their relationship or marriage too. And so many cases we have seniors living together without marriage, or with a sham marriage. Somehow they think it's recognized by God, but not by the state, so they can have their pension and relationship too. But the point is, what is important? Obedience to God by not living in fornication, or the economic gain that comes from living in sin? Don't we think that God will take care of us if we are obedient to Him, and any gain we think we have will ultimately be lost if we are in disobedience to Him? We can't serve God in money, Jesus said. And we can't be on the broad road of destruction and also on the narrow way of life. He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now turn with me to Hosea, the 14th chapter, the 9th verse. As Hosea ends out his book, a great rebuke to the adulterous nation of Israel, to the faithful God. He ends with this verse, which is a very good verse, ought to probably be memorized or put on our memory list. Who is wise? Hosea 14:9. Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, the righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. The ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous walk in them, but transgressors will stumble. Look at life that is stumbling and falling. Look at a life that is personally falling apart, a marriage that is on the rocks, a business that is failing, and often you'll find those not walking the right way somewhere in that situation. Pilgrim's Progress is full of examples and others not entering through the narrow way, of not staying on the right path, of even Christian himself, when the going gets rough, seeing this beautiful field, that smooth going that he can go on, and he crosses off the narrow way, over the fence, into this way, and where does it lead him to? Doubting Castle and giant despair. And that's where some of us are, because we've left the narrow way. We're in despair, we're depressed, we're even, as Christian became, suicidal. Because we thought we could take the easy, broad way, and it doesn't lead us to the right way at all. Our lives and those around us are full of such examples of those who have not walked in the right way, and they suffered because of it. The wise always have before them the righteous way of God, as Hosea says, and those who are stumbling are those who are straying from it. In Proverbs 8:20, We also see, we read from Proverbs 4 that talked a lot about being on the right way and the right path. But here in Proverbs 8, a few chapters over, we say in verse 20, I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, and it's not just necessarily material wealth, that I might fill their treasuries. Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's the righteous path, the path of treasures in heaven. And Isaiah, the 30th chapter, the 21st verse. Isaiah 30, 21. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right, or whenever you turn to the left. Remember, Proverbs 4 says, don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left. Keep your eyes straight before you. Follow that narrow way. And here it says there's going to be a time when people will hear in their ears the words being said, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or wherever you turn to the left. I believe that that is the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer. That as soon as we get off the path, the Holy Spirit says, you're going the wrong way. Turn back. Turn back. Don't walk in this way any longer. Do not do it. This is the way, the righteous way. Walk in it. The voice of the Holy Spirit. What is the righteous way? It is the way of faith. It is the way of obedience to God's law. It is the way of the cross of Jesus and believing in Him. Obedience isn't good without faith, and faith isn't good without obedience. Jesus says, if you love me, you keep my commandments, which are summed up as love for God and love for one another. We see, in the context of the narrow gate from Matthew 7 and the Sermon on the Mount, the guide for righteous living in the way of God. It gives a right understanding of the Ten Commandments, and that our righteousness must exceed the self-righteousness of the Pharisees. May we commit ourselves today, anew, or maybe for the first time. May we commit ourselves to seek God's kingdom and His righteousness, knowing that all the other things people seek will be added to us. You see, we get them by not seeking them. We get them by seeking God and His righteousness, and He, in His favor, adds them to us. While I was determining in college whether I was going to throw off the things that I'd been raised with, or I was going to follow them, and before I really had down what the gospel was, I had to read the Bible for that, and despair the Lord led me to His Word. But I wonder what my life would have been had I made the opposite decision than what I've made. Where my life would be now compared to where it is, having followed the Lord all these 40-some years and followed His narrow way. The Lord's been good to me. Without seeking those things, but seeking the Lord, He has given me blessing after blessing after blessing. Things that I would not have if I had sought them directly rather than through His blessing. Have we strayed from the path of God? In which way, in what ways do we justify our actions as being good because they're mainstream, based on being on the teachings of the Scripture that many consider too narrow? Is it time to go back on the highway to heaven and forsake the unrighteous way? As we walk the pilgrim way to Zion, the beautiful city of God, let us rejoice that we are on the way to life eternal, through Jesus, the door of the sheep, the narrow way. Let us pray. Lord, maybe there's someone here today who's been walking in the broad way and has found life kind of frustrating because of it. The things they've sought, they haven't found, and when they've found it, it's left them merely empty, without much meaning or purpose in life. Oh Lord, most of all, we're not on the right path to that celestial heaven, to that place where you are, to Eden restored. Having fallen from that, you restore us to it through Jesus, to eternal blessings, a place where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, all tears wiped away, a place you prepared for those who love you and have trusted in your Son. Lord, we have not yet come to that path, entered through that narrow door, through Jesus and the cross. May we understand that we are on the path that's broad to destruction, that we will not live for eternity life, but for eternity death, that we'll be separated from you and all your blessings for eternity. And today is a day to realize that we are condemned already because we have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And to go through that great gate so that all condemnation might leave us. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And we thank you for that statement of your word. And those of us who have gone through the narrow way, maybe there's ways that we've strayed from that path. We're not on the right path right now. We're in a slew of despond. We're in Vanity Fair. We're in castle of doubt and being pummeled by giant despair. Maybe we're sleeping on hill difficulty rather than trudging along. Wherever we may be, that is away from you, we pray that this would be the day we understand where we are and the danger that we are in being there and get back on the narrow way. Not to turn to the left.